Amen. All right. I want to welcome everybody to the Master's Class here at Soma Church. And we are in the book of 2 Samuel, talking about the life of David here. We've got a series going on about the life of David, and we're actually talking about some of the people who interacted with David and were in David's life as well. And today we're going to be talking about the death of a foolish man. The death of a foolish man. Now, let me start off by asking, have you ever known someone who did something foolish? You ever know anybody that did something foolish? Yeah, and most of us would say, yeah, all you got to do is look in the mirror, right? Yeah. And you're looking right at somebody who was doing something foolish. So everybody's done something foolish, right? Yeah, everybody would agree that they've done something foolish. But now let me ask you if you've ever known someone who died foolishly. Died foolishly, yeah. Now, they may have been very intelligent. They may have been successful. Well-liked, they may have been a person who was just the epitome of wisdom and likability and so forth, but they died foolishly. You know, I've known some of those people, haven't you? They do foolish things and they end up dying. They did things like jumping out of a perfectly good airplane just for the rush of having that ground come up at you really quick, right? Yeah, I mean, that would be a foolish thing for someone to do, right? Now, I've never understood someone who would do something like that, but you know, that's just who I am. But generally, people die a foolish death because they get their priorities out of order. They forget what is really important and choose to follow something that promises a quick rush of pleasure. They live for today. They allow greed or addiction or self-gratification to become the most important thing in their lives, even if it means destroying their families or even hurting their loved ones. But there is something even more basic than that where people choose to die foolishly. And when it comes to choosing eternal life in heaven or eternal death in hell, people will foolishly choose to reject God's free gift of eternal life and choose death instead. Now, whether it's because they think they have all the time in the world to choose, or they just don't want to believe in life after death, death comes. And they die a foolish death. Our message today is about just such a foolish man. We're going to talk about a foolish man who died foolish. Now, I've said before that the Bible is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the theme of the Bible is salvation, or how to be right with God. Now, the hero of the Bible is Jesus, the villain of the Bible is Satan, and the story of the Bible is salvation. God has packed salvation stories from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. It is within these pages of the Holy Bible that we can find the words of eternal life. And we can find the story of how to be saved and how to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're going to cover a salvation story found in this book of 2 Samuel chapter 3. And it is a story about a man named Abner. Now, Abner was a great man. He was Saul's general, and he was murdered by Joab, who was David's general. But now, Abner didn't die as a soldier on the battlefield in some heroic battle between David's troops and Saul's troops, or as we're going to find out later on, it was even different troops than that. No, he died when Joab chased him down and in vengeance killed him because Abner had killed Joab's brother named Asahel. Now, our message today is going to be about how Abner died a foolish death. So So everybody ready to find out how Abner died? Everybody? Okay. So our story begins actually at the end of the story. And that is that it's with the burial of this great man named Abner and of the grief that David felt for the man. And we start off, and our focus verses for today is in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 32 to 34. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." And all the people wept again over him. And then we drop down to verse 38. And the king said unto his servants, "Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" Here was a man who King David described as a prince and a great man. And Abner was a brave man. He was a discerning man. And yet, he died like a fool. He died in the prime of his life and at a time of robust health. He died in a needless and a foolish manner. I'm setting this up, right? I'm going to really tell you how he died a foolish death because I keep saying it, right? Now, all right. There are four things that I want you to learn about Abner, and I pray God that he will lay them on your heart. And this is especially true if you're not a Christian or if you have loved ones who are not Christians, because indeed Abner may reflect you as a lost person or that lost person that you know. So the first thing I want you to see is Abner's fearful danger. Now we're starting off with things like A's for Abner and F for fearful and so forth. We're going to alliterate it this time with F's, okay? So Abner was in a place of fearful danger. Now, what had placed Abner in such danger? What was it that had placed Abner in such fearful danger? Now, to answer that question, we need to back up in time a little bit. We're here at the burial, so we got to back up in time. You know, kind of like you watch some of these TV shows, and they show you what happens at the end, and they say, here's what happened 36 hours earlier or 18 hours earlier. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go back in time, and so you can get the background into this story. So there was a battle, and as usual, Abner was fighting against David. Now, Saul had already died, and David had already been made the king of Judah. So we're kind of a little bit further down in history from where we left off, which was where Saul had died and so forth. So now we're moving a little bit further down in history. Saul has died. David has been installed as the king of Judah. But Abner, he could not accept David as the king of both Judah and Israel as God had commanded. Instead, Abner remained loyal to Saul, even in death, and he installed one of Saul's sons by the name of Ish-bosheth as the king of Israel. So you got David as the king of Judah, and you got Ish-bosheth, one of Saul's sons, as the king of Israel. So now as a result, civil war breaks out between Judah and Israel. And Abner was on the wrong side. Abner was fighting against David and fighting against David's troops. And Abner was losing. He was losing the battle, and the battle had gone against him. So Abner's running away from the battlefield. And he'd been defeated. And so all they're doing is mopping up and killing the people that were fighting against him, okay? And so he leaves the battlefield. He's running away. He's running away from the battle. He's been defeated, but he hears footsteps behind him. And he looks back, and he knows a man named Ishiel is chasing him. We catch up with this story in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. And then Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Ishiel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor." But Ishiel would not turn aside from the following of him. And Abner said again to Ishiel, "Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?" Oh, that's important. Joab thy brother. Okay? So now the Bible says that this man, Asiel, was a track star of his day. Verse 18 says, and there were three sons of Zariah there, Joab and Abishai and Asiel. Now notice, so Asiel is a brother of Joab, David's general, right? And Asiel was as light of foot as a wild roe, or a wild deer, if you want to call it that. So he was a fast dude, okay? Yeah, but he was a pretty skinny dude. He's kind of like those cross-country runners running around. He's chasing after Abner, who's a great big old dude, right? Now, Abner might have been a middle-aged man, and even though he's strong and a valiant warrior, he knows he can't outrun this man named Asiel. But he doesn't want to do battle with Asiel because Asiel is Joab's brother. So he says to the young man, yeah, leave me alone. Quit chasing me. Go chase one of these other young men, please. I have no fight with you. I don't want to fight with you, Asiel. But the younger man stays relentlessly on the trail. Abner knows that he's got to do something in self-defense. And he's carrying his spear as he's running. Now he can start feeling the breath of old Asiel coming up on the backside of him here. And he knows he's got to do something here. And finally, in an act of desperation, Abner takes his spear and he brings it backwards. And as it does, it pierces the body of the younger man who was chasing him, and he wounds him so that he dies. Verse 23 says, howbeit he refused to turn aside, wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asiel fell down and died stood still. Now, Joab was David's commander in chief. Okay, he was the top general in command of the armies of David. And they had a law in Israel that there was such a thing as the avenger of blood. The avenger of blood. And if someone was slain in that day, the avenger of blood, the next of kin, could put the person to death who could avenge, and they could avenge the blood of their relative, right? Now, this person is called the avenger of blood. So if you had a relative that was killed, and it wasn't murder, it made you the avenger of the blood. You could go take that person's life. And this made Joab the avenger of Asiel's blood. Okay, everybody following me so far? All right. Verse 24 says, Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah that lieth before Gaia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. So now Abner is in really severe danger here. Joab and his remaining brother, Abishai, were on Abner's trail demanding justice for the death of Asiel. Abner is a hunted man, and he's roaming around trying to get away from Joab and Abishai, right? Now, the sentence of death is now hanging over his head, and he knows it. So the first thing I want you to see is his fearful danger. Everybody understand the fearful danger that he's in? He's got a sentence of death over his head. Now, the second thing I want you to see is Abner's foolish death. His foolish death. And in verse 33 of our focus verses, David asked, died Abner as a fool died? Now, if I want to find the answer to that, we need to look at how Abner died. So David asked the question, did Abner die as a fool died? And verse 27 says, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asiel, his brother. Now Joab, he catches Abner at the gate of Hebron, and he says, hey, Abner, would you kind of come over here for just a moment? Now, Abner, there's something I want to talk to you about, brother. And as Abner comes over to Joab, Joab pulls out his dagger and he stabs him under the fifth rib, and he dies right there. He's killed by Joab. Now, this is the thing that broke David's heart. There was not one reason that Joab should have killed Abner, because Abner was right there at a particular city called Hebron. And you say, well, why would that make any difference, Keith? Why would it make any difference whatsoever? Why shouldn't Abner have died because he was right there at Hebron? Well, that's because Hebron was a city of refuge. And what is a city of refuge? Well, God knew that in this day of primitive justice that there would be some people like Joab who wouldn't bother asking how Asahel died and what the motive was for Abner to kill Asahel, and they wouldn't ask, was Asahel killed in self-defense? They just wanted blood for the reasons that they just wanted blood, and it didn't really matter why Abner would have killed Asahel. God knew that every man needed his time in court, and so he sets up cities across the land of Israel, and they were called cities of refuge. And if anybody had an avenger of blood on his trail, then he could go inside one of the cities of refuge, and there he could be safe. It was against the law for the avenger of blood to kill you while you're there in that city of refuge. And this is detailed in Joshua 20, verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spake also unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwillingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. So Joshua says to people, we're going to set up some cities where people will be safe. In verse 7, Joshua. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. So these cities of refuge were set up all over the land, and Hebron was one of them. Now go back to verse 27 in 2 Samuel chapter 3, and notice where Joab killed Abner. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib. So here Abner was killed at the entrance gate of the city to Hebron. He died right at the doorway of the city of refuge, right before he could get into the place of safety. All he would have had to have done was to step just inside the gate, and he would have been absolutely safe. He could have said, hey, Joab, yeah, I'll talk to you, but I'm going to step into this gate first, right? And then he would have been absolutely safe there. So this is the reason that David lamented, and this is the reason that David wept, and he said, Abner was a great man, but he died like a fool. And he died right outside the gate of a city of refuge. And that's an amazing thing to me. That's an interesting thing to me as I think about it, you know? Because I believe that I've met a lot of people today who are like Abner. They are great men, wise men, and capable men, but they die like a fool because they die without the Lord Jesus Christ. They're successful in every other realm, but they die like a fool because they die without Christ. And that's how David described Abner. He was a great man and a prince, but he died foolishly, standing just outside the place of safety and refuge. Now, Jesus tells us about another man like Abner in Luke 12. So we have a New Testament counterpart to the story of Abner here in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 20. And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, well, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down all of my barns and build greater. And then I will bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now I suppose that when this man died, they had a great big funeral. And if that funeral had been today, there would have been a lot of fancy, expensive cars out in front of this funeral, right? And then when the time came for the eulogy, this person would have said as he bent over that coffin, here lies a successful man, a man of great enterprise, and a man of great importance. And he departs, mourned by the whole community, He was good for the business of our community. He was a successful farmer. Sound like about what would happen to a guy like this? But let me tell you something, and I want you to hear it. His soul was in hell before his friends even knew that he was dead. His soul was in hell before his friends even knew that he was dead. And had God written the epitaph for that man, it would have been a four-letter word. Fool. F-O-O-L. Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Now, the Old Testament counterpart of this man was Abner, and David said he died as a fool dies. So I wonder, have you considered the value of your soul? Or are you going to die like a fool dies? Are you? Are you going to die like a fool dies? Are you going to die right outside the city of refuge? You know what your city of refuge is? Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Jesus Christ. Do you know why God set up these cities of refuge in the Old Testament? They were types and they were pictures of refuge in the Old Testament. They were types and pictures of Jesus Christ and of the prophecies of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That's where we run to. Jesus is our tower. Jesus is our city of refuge. They are safe when they approach Jesus. Jesus is our city of refuge. And yet many men are going to die, many men who are great men, many men who are princes, many men who are leaders, many men who are discerning men, are going to die like a fool because they are going to die just outside the gate of the city of refuge. Mark 8:36-37 says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So your soul is worth a whole lot more than all the stocks, all the bonds, all the gold, all the rubies, all the emeralds, all the schools, the real estate, the institutions this world has put together. I mean, if you put them all together, your soul is worth more than all of them together. So what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Abner died like a fool. And the first thing I want you to see is his fearful danger. The second is his foolish death. He died right outside the gates of the city of refuge. Now, the third thing I want you to see is Abner's friendly deception. Now, I just called it Abner's deception because it got confusing. It made it look like Abner was being the one doing the deceiving, but he was the one deceived, okay? But Abner's friendly deception. So how was it that such an otherwise brilliant man, a man who was a prince, a great man, could die like a fool? Well, he was deceived, right? How was he deceived? Go back to verse 27, if you will again. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him privately. Now, can you see the picture? There's old Abner and Joab. They've known each other for a long time. I mean, they probably fought together before David and Saul started fighting. They were probably in the same armies fighting along with each other. And then they split, kind of like the Civil War where we had generals on both sides who had been fighting together before. And so now you got Abner and Joab on different sides. But they're good friends. I mean, they've been good buddies for a long time. They got a lot of respect for each other. And Abner knew he was in danger for killing Joab's brother. But there was Joab waiting for Abner just outside the gate of Hebron. And Joab says, hey. Now he's got the big smile on his face. And he's looking all calm and ready just to talk and so forth. And he says, hey, Abner, come on over here, fella. There's something I want to tell you. And I can just see him putting his arm around him, and he uses his left arm because he's got something he wants to do with his right arm, right? He puts his left arm around the guy, and he leans in close like he's going to tell him some confidence, something deal. And then he pulls out his dagger and he stabs him under the fifth rib to kill him. Now, Abner was obviously deceived, right? He was obviously deceived. Verse 34, 2 Samuel chapter 3. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. This is David talking about how Abner died. Joab didn't capture him and put him in chains and so forth. He walked right up to him and stabbed him. So David says, thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before a wicked man, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. So David is pointing out that Abner's hands were not bound. He wasn't chained. He wasn't dragged. How did Joab slay Abner? He did it by deception. And how is it that many and so many men, smart men, brilliant men, wise men, die and go to hell? They're deceived. And who are they deceived by? The devil, right? Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4 it says, in whom the god of this world, meaning Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So how do these brilliant men of today die and go to hell? They are deceived. And when they should be saved, they are deceived. And let me tell you something, that veil of deception that Satan has put up is very hard to break through. It's very hard to break through. And you know what's amazing to me about this deception that Satan has put up? You know, what the devil has really gotten people to believe in our world today. You know what's amazing about what the devil has gotten the people in this world to believe today? He has gotten people to believe that he is their friend and that God is their enemy. That the devil is their friend and that God is their enemy. It's an amazing thing that the devil has gotten people to think negatively about God. Now, people think that somehow when you come to God, you got to stop living. You just got to give up all your life and stop living. They think that it's hard to become a Christian. Oh, it's hard work. I got to get all this work done so I can be a Christian, right? Now, I don't know where they get that, because they certainly didn't get it out of the Bible. Because Jesus said in Matthew 11, chapter 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus is saying, come to me and have life more abundantly. More abundantly, right? So contrary to what the devil says, it's not hard to be a Christian. Yeah, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard in Proverbs 13:15. Now, the devil has deceived people so completely that they think that somehow that God is the enemy and Satan is their friend. Joab, who was a murderer, Joab, who wanted to harm Abner and put Abner to death, did it with a smile on his face and his arm around the man as if he were to speak secretly to him, and it was the friendliest of deceptions. Our friendly enemy is the devil. He will smile at you. He will deceive you as an angel of light in order that he might destroy you. He might destroy you. Now, the fourth thing is Abner's final determination. Abner's final determination. I want you to notice not only his fearful danger, not only his foolish death, and not only his friendly deception, but I want you to notice Abner's final determination. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 32. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, And all the people wept. All right, I'm getting ready to step on some toes here, so that's all right. My toes were out there with you, okay? So I'm going to step on mine too. When I point my finger, I got three fingers pointing back at me, right? Three times. All right. So notice that all of the people were weeping after Abner had died. But all of the tears of King David and the people couldn't bring him back. Abner was dead, he was gone, and there was nothing that they could do to bring him back. All they could do was to grieve and weep. Abner's eternal destiny had been fixed and could not be changed by everyone's tears. Ecclesiastes 11:3 says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And you say, Keith, what in the world does that verse have to do with anything that you just said? All right? All right. So I want you to picture a lumberjack out there cutting down a giant tree. Great big old tree, right? And he fails to make the proper calculations, and with his axe, he starts to chop. And little by little, blow at a time, he starts working on this tree. And then that tree starts to fall. And it doesn't fall in the place that he thinks it's going to fall, but it falls into a deep ravine, and there it is lodged, and there it rots, and there it stays, because there's nothing that lumberjack can do with that tree. He can't move that tree because it's lodged down there in that ravine. And it's a great big old huge tree. He can't move it at all. In the place where that tree falleth, there it shall be. Now, what is God trying to apply to us with that story? What God is saying is this, that when you die, your destiny is fixed. There's nothing you can do to change it. Regardless of what the Catholics or anybody else says about buying you out of hell, you can't get bought out of hell. Your destiny is fixed. Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Abner's final determination was decided at the moment of death. He was deceived and he died, and all of David's tears could not bring him back. He had but one life and he threw it away. David wept after the fact. And I would imagine that each one of us have some loved ones who are going to die and go to hell. Would to God that we would and could weep before the fact. Before the fact. And we can. I see Jesus as he wept over Jerusalem before it was destroyed. And it makes me wonder why we don't weep more for the lost souls of those we know before they die. Before they die. And again, understand, I'm speaking to myself here just as much as I am to you. But there are mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters that we have that are going to die and go to hell. Where are our tears? David wept after the fact. Jesus wept before the fact. We need to pray that God would give us a heart that's broken over the lost destiny of men. Why? Because I believe that God sees our tears when we weep for the unsaved. There was a young lady who came down the aisle of a revival. And she said to the preacher, "Preacher, I am so concerned for a particular man. And I just don't know what I shall do. I believe my heart will break if he is not saved." And so she wept. Now her tears rolled down her cheeks and she asked the pastor, "Pray with me for Mr. Dopper." And so they did. And God heard those prayers. And the next night, Mr. Dopper came down the aisle of that church and under deep conviction gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was gloriously saved, all right? But that's not the end of the story. Like Paul Harvey would say, here's the rest of the story, okay? A few days after he came forward in that revival meeting and he gave his heart to Christ, he was out in his own backyard and a high-tension power line snapped, just like that, for seemingly no reason. It fell to the ground, it encircled this man, and it electrocuted him right there on the spot. Now, this young girl had a burden on her heart for this man and said, if he is not saved, I believe my heart will break. And there he was in his own backyard with absolutely no thought of any imminent danger, and he died just like that. Someday, that young lady is going to get to meet Mr. Dopper in heaven because she had a heart of compassion and a heart of tears. And I believe that God hears the prayers that are soaked with the tears of us for our loved ones. Listen to me now. We pray without fasting and we pray without weeping. So where is our broken heart? The Bible says, when Mount Zion prevailed, she brought forth, in Isaiah 66:8. So may God forgive the coldness of our churches. May God forgive the sterility of our hearts. Here we have David weeping, but he's weeping after the fact. He waited too late. And he said, Abner died as a fool dies. Now, let me tell you something. It's not up to your pastor or the deacons to win your loved ones to Jesus Christ. It's up to you. Sometimes people will go to their pastor and tell him, Pastor, God has laid someone on my heart. Will you go see them? Will you go see them? Well, now ask yourself, why do you think that God laid that person on your heart? Because he wants you to go see them, right? That's why he laid that person on your heart. He didn't ask you to go tell the pastor. He asked you, right? Because he wants you to go see them. And if God hasn't laid anybody on your heart, then what does that say about your heart? Because why are you here on this earth after you've been saved? Our job here on this earth after we got saved is to win other souls to Christ. That's why we're here. Otherwise, we'd just go up to heaven. Might as well if we're not going to do anything. So there's a world of Abners who are out there. Brilliant people. Great people, but they're going to die like a fool dies. And we need to weep over them, and we need to have a broken heart for the people without the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see Abner's fearful danger, his foolish death, his friendly deception, as his enemies pretended to be his friends, and see his final determination. There's nothing that tears could do to bring him back. One of these days, you're going to water the grave of your loved one. And when the clods of dirt fall in that casket, each clog of dirt is going to say, lost, lost, lost. You'll not be able to get that person back. You're not going to get any more time back to witness to them. You'll not be able to get them back. As a tree fallen, so shall it lie. Now, if you're going to win souls, you better get after it, okay? You're going to do it while you're still alive here on this earth, and you're going to win souls, then you better get after it. If you're going to bring your children to Christ, you better get after it. If you're going to bring your neighbor to Christ, you better get after it. Heaven is going to be wonderful. You know, it really is. Heaven's going to be great. I'm ready to go to heaven. How about you? You ready to go to heaven? I'm ready to go to heaven, but there's one thing that we can do down here that we can't do in heaven, and that's win souls. Do you know that there's no soul winning in heaven? There are no soul winning in heaven. Your days of soul winning are over when you get up to heaven. Abner died as a fool dies. Now I'm going to say one other thing in conclusion because I'm running out of time here and I'll be finished with this simple little gospel message. It really is a simple little gospel message, right? I want you to notice again in verse 27. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate. I mean, he was in the very gate to speak with him. He was so very close. And yet he was so very far away. That gate speaks of Jesus Christ himself, who said in John 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Abner was yet so lost, even though he was so close. So close. Here at that very gate, at the very door of his salvation, at the very door of the city of refuge, this man Abner died. No wonder David lamented. No wonder David said, Abner died like a fool. We have a great man, a prince, a brilliant fool, and he died like a fool died. He wasn't bound. He wasn't handcuffed. All he had to do was step inside, and he let Joab deceive him so close and yet so very far away. How many people do you know that are standing so close yet are so very far away from salvation? Amen? Amen.